Many of you know her already, but I want to mention Abby Pucker, who is really responsible for all of this. So Chicago is very fortunate to have Abby back from L.A., right, in New York, and she's stepping up on the Chicago civic scene, and she takes very seriously her role as the next generation of the Pritzker and Pucker families, who, like the Crowns and the Dailies and the Wirtzes, these families have built Chicago. Abby and I got around a few months ago to talking about how to gather and encourage this next generation of these leaders to fill this widening void of civic engagement at a time when our city needs it most. And we then decided to team up as City Club and Gertie, which is, you'll hear a little more about that from Abby, to take that the awesome opportunity of the incoming DNC to showcase and elevate the incredible culture in Chicago's neighborhoods. So through Next Stop Chicago, we'll invite visitors from around the country and the world to visit these neighborhoods and see all the beautiful and amazing things that are happening in Chicago. Invest in these efforts that will last far beyond the DNC that you'll hear more about now. So please, if you will, join me in a City Club welcome for Abby Pucker, Anton Seals Jr., and Devin Von Houten Maldonado, who Abby will introduce after a few remarks. Please welcome them all to the stage. Thank you.
No, I'll sit. Okay. Thank you. Hey.
Hey.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Cool. Hi, everyone.
Cushy chair.
Happy Monday. I just had to check my calendar to make sure it was, in fact, Monday.
Yes, indeed.
It is. It feels like it.
It's a Monday. Thank you both for being here on a Monday as well.
Having us.
And thank you to Dan and to MB for doing this and hosting us. Dan and I, when we met and chatted about civic engagement, whenever we did that, feels like 10 years ago. I think it was like 5 months ago. We also talked about, could City Club potentially be a partner in this project, Next Stop Chicago, that we'll talk about, more than just sort of facilitating and doing this, which is a huge amount, but they also are our fiscal sponsor for this project. So, you know, just in keeping with what Gertie does as a civic and cultural agency that's really trying to gather, convene, educate the next generation of civic leaders, business leaders in the city, and really connecting them to arts and culture to promote the creative economy, because it really is an economy, like Dan sort of alluded to. We are doing things in a little bit of a different way and trying to figure out how do we capture different kinds of capital to make these projects happen, because the only way that these things happen, these large citywide activations and initiatives, is through both public and private support. And so partnering with the City Club as a fiscal sponsor has allowed us to really do that and to receive super important funding for this project from organizations like Joyce Foundation and MacArthur and Good Chaos, and hopefully lots more people. So with that, I will sort of kick us off with a video. I'm going to turn this black for a second. Fun trick I learned. So that was a video that Gertie and my team at Gertie. Also, shout out to the Gertie team who's all here. Thank you for being here. So we started something called Chicago Exhibition Weekend in partnership with Tony Carmen and Expo Chicago as a way to do something in the fall, because Expo is now in April. It just happened. It was amazing. And we wanted to do something so that Chicago could really come together, the civic community, the business community, the arts community, and be in the same rooms together, sort of like this room, and, you know, understand how they can really invest in each other and at sort of the most basic level, just be friends and know each other, and potentially projects come out of it, potentially collaborations come out of it. And so we did this citywide activation, getting people into the communities where there are galleries and art spaces and museums, and really trying to do work to make visible the creative community in Chicago, because it's so incredibly vibrant. And when people think art or art world, they think paintings and sculptures and being quiet in a museum, and it's so much more than that. And these galleries and the community-based organizations that are doing amazing arts work, they're, you know, small businesses and nonprofits, and they do so much work in just building programs so that this amazing work can exist, that artists can stay here so that they can support artists. They also need support, and they need support in terms of messaging. They need support in terms of sort of bringing together all of the components of what they're doing and trying to create a unified narrative around the creative community in Chicago and of Chicago as a cultural hub internationally. And so a lot of the work that we do is things like this video and this campaign that we did around Chicago Exhibition Weekend. The reason I spend so much time talking about that in a conversation about Next Stop Chicago, infrastructure, the DNC, is because we're sort of taking that model and applying it to what we're doing as a part of an activation around the DNC, around the convention, when everyone is in town, when all the eyeballs are in town and the earballs, and to try to really sort of elevate, again, the work that is happening in Chicago towards infrastructure change. And when we talk about infrastructure, you know, a lot of us think about buildings, and a lot of us think about bridges and roads and airplanes and airports, and those things are very important, and they connect people from point A to point B. But there's also people who live at point A and point B. And connecting those people, not just physically, but also emotionally and through a narrative, is really important, and that is also infrastructure. And Chicago is uniquely good at building and creating community. There's, as we know, 77 communities that make up this amazing city. And I think we're very good at building hyper-local community and support for community. But again, because a lot of the organizations that are doing that work are so stretched in terms of bandwidth, and many historically have not been invested in the same ways, there's a need for a platform or for campaigns like this to come in and do some of that connecting work so that we can get better at what is our narrative from an inside-out perspective of Chicago. And so Next Stop Chicago is something that Nora Daly, I just want to give a big shout-out. So when we got the bid, when we won the bid for the convention, Nora came to me and was like, Gertie has to do arts and culture activations in the city. And I was like, cool. How do we do that? And so then everyone that I talked to was like, Leah Israel, that's the person you got to go to. So Leah and I had an amazing meeting, and then 3 days later, I went to Vegas with her to go see F1, which was an amazing experience. but really, I just, you know, Leah really sort of helped us put structure to what this sort of campaign would look like. And it sort of started as, it started as the Green Line Project was sort of like the temporary name for it. So what my team and I sat down and tried to figure out, really, I just have to give huge props to Cortland Kelly because she is the one who has been managing this entire project and really moving it forward. She is the conductor of this project. And so what we did was we sort of said, okay, what's a sort of uniting thread through the city that we can use as an example of infrastructure connecting the city? And, you know, the Green Line was a great choice because, A, it goes south through the Loop and west or vice versa. And it also goes through McCormick Place and the United Center, obviously two integral parts of the convention. And so we started to think about organizations that we respect and had worked with and just knew they were doing great work in terms of creative economy, growing, you know, sort of creative communities, and placekeeping initiatives. And we sort of got to, at the end of February, convene 12 different community-based organizations and really talk about, like, what is the work that you are doing and how do you want that to be highlighted and amplified during this time? We know that a lot of these organizations are really, again, stretched for bandwidth, and so we wanted to invest in projects that would make visible the work that they were doing through physical in-person activations and also obviously the content piece. And so now we're at the point where we have six incredible community-based organizations as partners. We have Anton Seals and Grow Greater Englewood sitting next to me. Huge shout out. We have also Englewood Arts Collective. Huge shout out. And they're collaborating on an amazing project that Anton will tell you a little bit more about in Englewood. We are partnering with Arts and Public Life in Washington Park. And also, yes, huge, big applause for them. And Elevated Chicago is also a partner in that work as well. As an organization, yes. Thank you to Leslie. As an organization that's already doing a lot of this sort of connecting work, so how do we, again, pull in other organizations that we can really activate with in these spaces where they already know the community? Urban Juncture Initiative and Boxville. Bernard Lloyd is here and AJ on his team. The Wabash Lights, which is a really exciting project. I don't know if Jack and Bernard are here. In the Loop, and then the amazing Sky Art in East Garfield Park, led by Devin. And also CPS Lives in Humboldt. And so we're very excited about this collection of amazing organizations. We're investing over $500,000 in these six different projects. And what we're here to talk about today is those projects, but also is about how these investments are not just in activations that are going to happen leading up to and during the convention. These are ways that we can, again, make visible the incredible infrastructure building work that these organizations are doing in these communities in the city that need more visibility, need more funding, and also that are stronger together. A lot of the times, I think, organizations are so, again, in the work that it's hard to sort of look up and also write grants and also do business development and also fundraise and also be everywhere at the same time, which Anton somehow seems to manage to do. But, you know, not everyone is the great Anton Seals. But, you know, so I think what we're trying to also do is, yes, use this the convention time as a catalyst, but really show a lot of incredibly viable placemaking and placekeeping and built environment projects that have community and creatives at the center of them. And so with that, I would love to hand it off to Devin. to talk about
Sky Art. Wait, my map was blah, blah, blah. Okay.
To talk about Sky Art, I'll get back to the map. Okay. And have Devin talk a little bit about the project, but also Sky Art in general and how this project sort of plays into what they're doing in their expansion.
Yeah, thank you so much, Abby, for inviting us to be part of this project and for City Club of Chicago for having me. I'm just honored to be here with you all among such great thought leaders. I think, you know, this is where we start, right? I think the fact that Anton and I are here is a great testament to the work that City Club is doing to bring young leaders, leaders of color in, who are working in community to make change happen at the street level. SkyArt's been around for 23 years, since 2001, in the same block, in the same neighborhood in South Chicago, way down there on 91st Street. So we've been deep in community for that long, and we're a really integral part of the South Chicago environment, being one of the only arts nonprofits in the area, except for Hyde Park Arts Center, which is very far north and not accessible to our community. And we provide free art programs and mental health services for young people ages 7 to 24. What that means is that we work in dozens of schools, working with thousands of kids, and we have a flagship studio on 91st Street, which is 6,000 square feet of ceramics, drawing, painting, digital labs. We have a wonderful kitchen that we also activate as a studio space and garden space. And so we're really looking at holistic programming that involves social-emotional learning, exploration, experimentation, so not teaching young people necessarily how to draw a perfect portrait or paint an anatomically correct landscape, but teaching them to explore their identities through creativity and through art making, right? We know that it takes a lot of creativity to build those ladders out of poverty. We know that social emotional learning is an integral part of our 21st century life skills. And so we're really looking at art as the vehicle for healing, for transformation, for building community, as Abby's alluding to. In 2019, through demand from West Side schools, we began exploring expanding to the Chicago's West Side, and we settled in the East Garfield Park community. And I'm happy to say that earlier this year, we purchased a building, and we're in the process of renovating that space. And that's a 7,500 square foot studio space that's going to be our second flagship location in East Garfield Park. And that's where this project comes into play. So,
Devin, it's behind you also.
Ah, yes. Beautiful. this is what our new space looks like. These renderings are so cheesy, so I'm sorry. But that's where this project comes in. What we're proposing to do is bring together what we're calling a corridor of community-based organizations. So we have Firebird Community Arts, which does glass blowing, Revolution Workshop, which does certification, construction certification for folks who've experienced homelessness or incarceration, Inspiration Kitchen, which teaches folks who are returning home from incarceration or previously homeless or impacted by poverty how to cook and become chefs, and then Breakthrough Ministries and others that are all right along Lake Street, right in this corridor, and we're all there. We have all these amazing resources, but our block, the 3400 block of Lake Street, also suffers from higher rates of gun violence than 98% of other blocks across the city of Chicago. So that means that across all of Chicago's neighborhoods, we have more gun violence than 98% of other blocks. And so there's a disconnect there. And quite frankly, the reception that we've received from the city when we say, hey, you know, how can we work together to address this violence and, you know, make it safer for our young people in the community has been quite cold. And so one of the things that we really believe is by organizing together as community-based organizations, we can make a real difference by investing in the long term, right? We're talking about infrastructure here, like time is infrastructure. Being on the same block for 23 years is infrastructure. So that's what we aim to do on the west side of Chicago. By creating this event, we want to organize around the DNC, but separate from the DNC, to invite community into the conversation. And similar to this, have conversations that are not necessarily being had at the national level, to change the narrative a little bit, to invite community to participate in some of these conversations around politics, around what their communities need, but also to have leisure and play, right? To make art, to have some self-care, to inaugurate a beautiful mural on the side of the building where it says SkyArt, but it won't say SkyArt. And so we're exploring partnerships with Four Freedoms, which is a national arts organization that was began by Hank Willis Thomas. And they really activate, they're really looking at democracy and art and what how those two things can work together. And so working with Gertie, working with Four Freedoms, and working with some of our community partnerships, we aim to invite the community in, feed them, really importantly, and invite them to have some conversations around what are we doing here in Garfield Park? What do we want for our community? And what's our long-term vision over the next 5, 10, 20 years?
So thank you, Devin. I just wanted to also highlight some of the work that you've done before with Can You See Me?
Yes.
If you want to talk a little bit about
that. Sorry, I'm not looking at the slides.
Yeah. Look at the slides, Devin.
Thank you.
Sorry.
So in some ways, this project is an extension of an exhibition that we did called Can You See Me? Can You See Me was... That title came from a letter that was written by a young incarcerated person. And in the letter, he's saying, can you see me? You know, so often our incarcerated young folks, folks who are involved in the foster care system or the criminal justice system, are the most invisible members of our society. We do programs. I actually literally just came from a detention center before I was here. On Mondays, I pick up a group of young people from the IYC Chicago and bring them to our studio, and they get to spend the day with us. And like, just the act of being able to remove young people from incarceration for half a day is like one of the most important things I do any day, like the whole year of my job. Thank you, thank you. But the Can You See Me exhibition was all about uplifting and highlighting the voices and humanity of incarcerated young people. And so what we did was we featured and exhibited artworks that were made in our program. Our program is called Just Us. So these are artworks that are made collaboratively at several state and county facilities, alongside works like this one by Ebony Patterson, who is a well-known contemporary artist. And so you see our works on the left and the right. These are works that are made in our facility, hanging alongside this Ebony Patterson work, which has, you know, real monetary cultural value. And so when our kids go into the space and they see their work treated with the same reverence, it's undeniable. They know they're important. You know, they come into that space and there's a certain sacredness that they may not have experienced ever for something that they created. And so for us, it's really about letting them know that they are valuable, right? I think so oftentimes we're looking to these young people who are involved in these systems and victims of all the isms, right? Racism, classism, yeah, all the isms, right? We expect them to prove themselves to us, but we don't give them the benefit of the doubt. We don't give them the freedom and innocence that all young people deserve. And when in fact, you know, we're charging them as adults, we're treating them like infants, and we're putting them in an impossible situation. And so, for us, this project and so much of the work that we do is to bring humanity and voice to these young people. And the project that we're working on for Next Stop Chicago is really about centering the voices of young people, centering the voices of the community, and retelling. And creating a new narrative about Chicago and all the beauty and riches that already exist here.
Thank you. Awesome. And we'll circle back because I think, you know, probably some people are like, well, what does a mural do, right? It's like, you know, it can be ephemeral. It's a thing. It's a, you know, it's just on a wall. Or what can a, you know, day of programming do? And when Anton speaks, you know, what can a dinner do? What can a sculpture do? And for us, I think, like Devin said, this is a starting point to a conversation. This is not a solution, but this is really sort of an invitation to create a different framework for how we think about building community, building wealth, you know, really centering the creative community, who oftentimes are the ones that start the process of, you know, gentrification, right? They start in a space and it gets gentrified, they get displaced. Oftentimes creatives or bars, restaurants, creative businesses are the ones that start in those places. And so what we really want to promote here is attention to these places and then a conversation about how do we not do those things moving forward? How do we actually think about communities and people and time as infrastructure? I love what you said, Devin, that time is infrastructure, which is very poetic and not surprising for you. Okay, cool. Anton, your turn.
Okay, cool. Okay, good afternoon, everybody. All right, before I start, I'm Anton Seals, Jr. I'm the lead steward of Grow Greater Englewood. And I'm not going to go into the spiel about Grow Greater Englewood and the history. I think if you can go to growgreater.org, you can hear and read all about that. But I do want to shout out all of the network, the village that's here in the room, all the Englewood folks, Englewood Arts Collective, Growing Home,
woo!
Our dear partners at Botanical City. And the reason I'm bringing them up, just not for the applause, is because for us to do this work, we have to work in community. And by that, we define community by leaning in on each other. Mm. And, you know, this is Chicago, damn it. You know, So we make no small plans. So you have to remember, like, there's been like a little, like, I'm a Chicago boy. I'm a South Side. I'm a guest of Inglewood. I'm a grandson of Inglewood. But I'm from South Shore. Right? I lived all over this city. Right on. And so once you confirm and know who and what you are, so there's two values that I want to really highlight, which is collective work and responsibility, which is Ujima. And we've been engaged in a lot of Kuumba, which is creativity. Because within our community, there's tons of creativity. So this is a conversation. So all of this springs forth to help bring forth this vision of the agro-eco district, which started as just kind of the Inglewood Nature Trail, or a trail of an abandoned railroad that has a real dicey and not so great past around land. So a lot of the work in the history around Norfolk Sutherland, the land itself, the history. So this invitation that we're talking about, this continuation of a conversation, is one that we've been having in the community. Like, how did Inglewood end up so abandoned over the last 50 years? And by infrastructure, we're not just thinking about the things that we can now build, but to give real credence and honor to the things that have happened so that we can really think about, well, what does that look like? And so this big project for us is, what's the clarion call for black residents to move to Chicago in the next generation? Where can we find black joy and safety and space? And when you do that, that's when you solve for all of Chicago in actuality. Because if we are the ones who are at the acute top of every list that you can look of in terms of social determinants, this zip code here is where in some of the public health data says that we die 10 years sooner. Right. So that means that we need to pay attention to the environment. My dear colleague and sister Maria always talks about these are really important pieces. What kind of helped bring this to bear during the last administration, Commissioner Cox came and he's kind of, we were percolated, yes, give it up. Because I think it's not about just the administration, it's about Chicago. And sometimes the politics, and I get that, seep into like, but that's not the same as community politics. Because what community is looking for, what the residents in the community are looking for, are places that are safe, places where you can create memories, places where you can dance, where you can, where you feel, and now I'm old enough to remember, like, there was a different Chicago. Some of y'all do, too. Where Chicago was this kind of real gritty, bold city, right, that other folks came to visit. And for black Chicago, it is one of the most significant cultural imprints in the country. There are over 15 different black historic communities, and it's unlike any other place in the country. We do not highlight it. We do it as a city. Now, within each of those neighborhoods, we have our own different kind of Woodlawn, Inglewood, South Shore, Park Manor, that's Garfield Park, North Lawndale, all of these things. It's a cadence. It's a language. So all those things are embedded in the work that we're doing. You can go to the next slide. So here you see our plaza that we're. But I just wanted to kind of go over the values in which we've gone through this last 2 years, which has been to develop this land use project plan, rather. And so part of that is keeping the community first. And that means that it's always this growing network of voices that are at the table, that continuously need to be at the table. So you have to continuously invite people in the neighborhood out all the time. So it's very fluid. Strength. So the power of the community is not. So this is an answer to what we're talking about in terms of gentrification. Right. Gentrification is a market force. Right. And so we know that we can't control the entire market, but there are choices that cities can make. And this is one of the things that we're challenging and investigating here. Health and security. This is a huge issue in the community that we are. So these are all values that were brought by over 500 residents over a 2 year period. You know, we were meeting, we heard, we adjust. And so oftentimes there's a lot of planning that happens. And then now it's like, well, what's the action? Where do I see it? Where do I see our public dollars really working for me? And this is something in Inglewood that spreads out across. If you're in Little Village, if you're in Pilsen, if you're in Lincoln Park, how does a public dollar really impact my life? Sometimes that is not so clear. And part of that is this kind of level of co-governance of what we need to break in Chicago is like we kind of have government that works, but then the layers of government that don't work. Right. And so we've all dealt with that kind of push and pull. So that's where this kind of health and security really comes out of, like, the in particular around healing the land. right? If we are really serious about this kind of intersection around food access, around climate adjustment and adaptation, and around safety and security, this is what we heard from community over and over, that, and design does matter. Mm-hmm. Bringing it back to design matters a lot, right? And then stabilize. So this is not a project. So we've been doing a lot of work, and the we is the community partners, the all is investigating these kind of infrastructure reuse projects that are usually like seen as an acceleration for gentrification. That is not what we're looking to do. So across the country, this is a very unique project. We're part of the Highline Network, so there's many of these infrastructure reuse projects going on across the country. The one in Inglewood stands unique in which we are trying to stabilize Black culture and the people who live there. That's how many of you all in here can help, right? You can help because there's a destabilization happening, had been happening for the last 20 years. And I guess the housing. Okay, so pathways to work. We talk about that. Huge issues around if we build this trail, who's building it? Who gets the contracts? Where's the money going? Right? And that's is easier said than done. But that is a real goal. Like if I have 80% unemployment in certain census tracts, we have to figure out how to get the guys employed in building something in their neighborhood. And often we default to like, well, that's not good enough. Right? And it's not good enough from the people that that have been at the table. Farming as a political act. So this whole idea grew out of this urban ag zone. So big shout out to our co-founders, Representative Sonia Harper, who leads down in the state, our agricultural committee. So the work that's being done across the state for Black farmers, rural farmers, there's a lot of connectivity around, you know, how do we and the next generation leave for the next generation? The new American promise between people who make this country. When you look at rural America, when we talk to our farmers in rural, mostly all white neighborhoods, they echo very similar to the things that we're dealing with in Inglewood. Mm. But we are also listening to two different nodes of information. Mm. So when we actually have face to face, it's a completely different conversation, which is really special about farming as a political act. Mm. Arts rooted in local culture. So we've always integrated art in all of the stuff that we've done. Before there was even a dime even dedicated to it. Big shout out to the Inglewood Arts Collective, just Flo, and his work. The work that happens, that's right, Trace. So what we end up doing is an asset-based approach because in these communities already exist young artists, young people who want to do the work. So they were painting murals. They did some really dope murals over the last several years, even before the project even had a full structured plan to it. So arts was always kind of a real impetus to kind of move things forward. And then design for community. So this is an agile process, continuously listening to community. And so we see this as a loop and not as just like a linear straight path. So this is, you can see some of the kind of nodes that we've talked about. A lot of it is around making sure we've been working with a lot of the tree planting. So creating, I am a tree hugger, so it's cool. You know, it's all right. But, you know, the reason we call ourselves as Earth Stewards, as a Black man, as an African in this country, that is our history as one of the oldest civilizations in the world, is that we steward the earth. And so our work is to reconnect that in Inglewood, the whole GGE grows out of that need of like, wait a minute, this is what we did when we were enslaved down south. We cared for the land. So the enslavement was not just about the labor. It was around the technical expertise of taking care of the land. People forget that part. Mm. So we are making the initial kind of work to connect those pieces back. You can see this patchwork. It is a lot of empty spaces. So we will be at this until I'm already bald. Maybe I won't go so great, but we'll see. But you can see here, we have a lot of great energy. Our partners Growing Home is building a new center. Give them a big shout out. And they need money. Plugging all of our partners. Because it is together when we create this fabric that then you have a different kind of destination that is really reflects the community. Inglewood has such a great vibrancy. And that's part of what we want to be able to capture in all this work.
So I think part of what you're talking about, what Devin's talking about, is the creation of like third spaces, right?
Correct.
Not home, not work, not school, but third spaces are, you know, I think growing up in Lincoln Park, something that I took for granted, right? Like, I, of course, everywhere is going to have, like, the coffee shops and the restaurants and the, you know, places where you can just hang out and connect with people. And obviously that is not the case. And so I think one of the common themes across the six different projects that we're working on is how do we bring people in these communities to understand, to formalize third spaces? How do we find investment for third spaces that are not necessarily the same as the third space that I grew up being used to, but that actually makes sense in community? And so, you know, I want to also just, these are big projects, obviously, right? This trail is a huge undertaking. The agro-eco district is a huge undertaking. This idea of this coalition, this sort of, you know, youth workforce development-led coalition or corridor on Lake Street, these are big placemaking initiatives or placekeeping initiatives. Mm-hmm. And I just want to help everyone understand these projects that are being activated during the convention are meant to sort of be, again, the beginning of a conversation, the beginning of sort of coming around the table and seeing these things in action. So one of the things that we need or would want, you know, from everyone in this room is to actually engage with us and figure out how it makes sense to actually come and be in those spaces in a way that's productive. And so I just wanted you guys to talk a little bit. I know we're close to the end, but to talk a little bit about, like, a little bit more, I guess, about the actual project that you're going to be activating during this time. Devin talked a little bit about the programming, but, you know, Anton, in terms of, you know.
Well, one, I think, you know, Gertie and the City Club, thank you for, you know, allowing this platform for us to share. So the Inglewood Arts Collective and GGE kind of combined to come together, and we have some great news with our new commissioner, DK, around, you know, resources coming in to help support. So we're doing, we're going to be launching this, some of these Black Abundance Dinners. So looking at, like, what's already available in our community on the street. And so for the DNC, this will be a much bigger kind of Black Abundance Dinner. So think of Dinner and Blanc, but Dinner Noir, right? And we're also doing the Public Art Studio, which the EAC. So part of what we're going to be doing, we have a campaign called We Deserve Beautiful Spaces. And there's a lot of empty spaces, vacant lots. So we've been working with the city and 2FM. So part of what we're going to do is activate. When we did the architectural biennial last year, we had the great fortune of working with Florida Museum and FETA. And so part of their work is, like, how do we then, you know, create spaces for artists to create big pieces of public art that can then be installed at the trail or across Inglewood, actually, in different scales. So that's something that we're going to be launching, working with EAC. And I think it's just going to be a really, and Borderless Studio, and trying to think about, like, how do we create, take our, and the, our, this piece is going to be really cool, like the living embody of our logo, kind of the logo for We Create, We Deserve Beautiful Spaces. But then it's like the ongoing activation of spaces in that particular space for artists to come for public art. So that's something that we are going to be doing for the Last Stop project.
And I think Next Stop. Okay. And I think that
we could be the Last Stop.
You could be the Last Stop. Sure. If you want. It's either you or Devin. So guys can figure out who wants to be the Last
Next Stop.
But I think that this idea also of, you know, these smaller campaigns within this larger campaign, you know, that's how we're thinking about the messaging around this too, right? We had a conversation about maintenance versus stewardship, and with Janelle as well, who's here. What does that mean to sort of shift the framework from the idea of, like, maintenance of a space to stewardship where there's real community ownership and buy-in, right? And so all of these things now, all of these sort of programmatic sort of parts of Next Stop Chicago are going to sort of bubble up into a content and, you know, comms and marketing plan. Because that's the thing about Chicago, is we have all of these unbelievable assets, but we need to connect the dots and we need to create that overarching narrative. And so I'm very excited about some of the sort of partnerships, surrounding partnerships. I'll go back to my little blob slide, and you won't be able to read it, but I'll just sort of show you how we think about this. So Okay, it's like off center and horrible, but basically, like the center is, and Megan, who's here, who's amazing, who leads all of our design at Gerty, I'm not doing you any justice, but Next Stop Chicago is the campaign, and then the way we think about it is that each of these projects, you know, is sort of, we've now cemented each of these projects, and we will be able to follow up with anyone who's interested. Please come to me or Cortland. Cortland, if you raise your hand, thank you. If you're interested in learning more, interested in getting involved, but you know, we're going to create sort of these one pagers with the actual programming and some of the themes that are coming out in this work, so that then we can work with all these partners that we're in conversations with on these sort of outer circles to figure out how do they either activate in these spaces, how do they amplify the conversations through social channels, through, you know, press, through, we all in this room have incredible networks and incredible reach. And so part of this is also, it's, you know, what I'm super excited about is Gerty, and our, we're very excited about partnering with DCASE and with Commissioner Hedzbeth, and True Chicago, Glenn, Eden, thank you, I know you're here, and Lisa and Rich, who have been amazing in conversations about how do we potentially work together to do things like collaborative posts, and then, you know, the DNC host committee, how do we work together to get, you know, the hub that we're going to create for all of the marketing, for all of the information about these organizations and about these projects, you know, into the delegate bags, so that people are actually understanding what is happening in our city. You know, hopefully we can go a step further and actually arrange people to come and actually see what's happening and be a part of it. The delegates will be busy. We get that. But there's also so many people that come with them, right? Kids and spouses and other people who we want them to see Chicago, right? I think that video that we played at the beginning, you know, those are spaces that aren't familiar to necessarily everyone in this room. Raise your hand if you consider yourself part of the creative community in Chicago. Amazing. I love all the hands. For everyone who didn't raise their hand, I think that you are part of the creative community in Chicago. And so, you know, I think, like, that's what we're trying to do is sort of show people that, like, you can be a real estate developer, or you can be in finance, or a lawyer, or, you know, in hospitality. Like, you are integral in creating the creative economy and helping that creative economy thrive, which then helps creative people stay here, which helps organizations like Grow Greater Englewood and SkyArt to actually have an impact for people here who can see a future for themselves here. And so, you know, we are all part of this conversation. And so, you know, I'm really excited about the potential of this project. But it needs the support of everyone in this room. It needs, you know, sure, monetary support, yeah. But more than that, it needs, like, just kind of, like, ethos-wise, it needs support, right? It needs everyone to know about it, to be talking about it. And if you are an organization that has a platform, whether that is in terms of, you know, a network of people who can support monetarily, or it's access to distribution channels or press or, you know, any of these things, we basically have, what we're sitting on here is, like, this incredible hub of all of the amazing, innovative projects that people in this city, in the creative community, in the creative economy, the built environment, are building, that are truly viable projects, that are viable, investable projects. And we need to start thinking about how we invest in those. I like to say how we invest in horizontal growth and not just vertical growth. We need to think about how we, you know, plant those seeds of growth across, as well as in terms of just up. Because a lot of people ask, well, what are you going to do? What does this mean for downtown? And I think for us in our work at Gerty, oftentimes we're sitting in the middle of community and business, right? Or artists and corporate, right? These people, all of us, need to come together to find solutions that work for things that aren't at odds with each other. And we live in very divided times, but I really believe that it's possible, and not just possible, but it's the only thing that's going to allow us to move forward. And so all of our partners in these projects have that same view. Everyone wants to find ways to collaborate and to get to yes. and to get to a yes that works for more of Chicago. And so I think, you know, the idea of investing in community and having the change makers and the sort of movers and shakers in those communities, you know, really sort of show how they lead and our ability to connect them through these sort of marketing initiatives and through these sort of, you know, content-based initiatives so that, and through just the process of, like, you guys meeting each other and working together, yep. like, up here through both being part of this Next Stop Chicago project, that is creating essential, invisible infrastructure that we can then leverage and build on moving forward. So I just wanted to close by saying that you are all essential parts of this, and we need everyone in this room to be invested in this kind of work and care about this, and there's lots of different ways to invest, and I'm happy to talk about all of them with everyone.
Thank you. If anyone has a burning question I didn't mention earlier, you can write it out, but I think we're pretty much at the tail end of this, so please get that up if you do have a question for the panel. The one question that was pre-submitted, one of two, was from Ellen at World Business asking how everyone here can help, which I think you addressed, which is really why we're all here, to all do our part, and so I think you answered that, and I'll let that answer stand as it was.
Yeah, I can also tell everyone my email is abby@gertie.co. So email me. And CC Cortland. I'll loop her in. No, but we are going to have a splash page on our website within probably the next 3 days that will have contact information, and we will use that to continue to sort of populate it as assets come online and, you know, as we really sort of start to build out the content and the marketing for this project. And that is at gertie.co. That's our website.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you, Devin. We look forward to having you back here. Anton, it's great to have you back and to see all the progress since the last time you were here speaking. Yep. I'll mention that City Club brought, it was really a first field trip where we went to Inglewood and we're able to see a lot of this in action. And I very much encourage all of you to do that. It's incredible what's going on down there. Abby, thank you. This is great. This is, thank you for all you're doing. Thank you for bringing this to City Club. And thank you for all that's to come on so many different fronts. We have an exciting summer coming. I can, you know, feel it this week. The weather's changing. It's going to be a great summer in Chicago. It's going to be a great summer here at City Club. We have programs. Even this week alone, I think we have three programs. So we hope to see you all back. We've got, just on Wednesday, we have Building Equity, Strategies for Addressing the Racial Wealth Gap Through Housing Policy. That's on Wednesday, and I believe we still have tickets, seats for that. Friday, we have Joe Kennedy talk about next generation of leadership on the national scene. Joe is President Biden's special envoy to Northern Ireland, among other initiatives that he's involved with. So we're going to have a conversation with Joe on Friday. And there's so much more to come. Thank you. Thank you to the three of you and every one of the teams behind all of this. Thank you all for being here, taking time out of your day to be part of this conversation. So much more to come, and we hope to see you all again soon.
Thanks. Time.